Welcome to today's deep dive. If you're feeling completely overwhelmed by just the sheer velocity of the world right now, you are in exactly the right place.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, our mission today is to really cut right through that information overload. We are going to explore this wild, honestly, almost unbelievable collision of AI autonomy, next-gen gaming hardware, and digital security.
Wow.
And this is all unfolding on this exact day. Today is Tuesday, March 10th, 2026. And, I mean, the landscape of technology is just actively shifting beneath our feet as we speak.
It really is. The pace of change has gone from, you know, a steady march to an absolute sprint.
Yeah.
And we have this massive mountain of raw data, leaks, and strategic intelligence to synthesize for you today so you can actually understand the tectonic shifts happening in the background of your digital life.
Exactly. And our source material for this deep dive is this incredibly fascinating, highly detailed tech and gaming bulletin. It's from Inspector Gemini, which is part of the Tech and Army Network. It is packed with insider intelligence, supply chain leaks, and honestly, some very stark warnings about the year ahead. Now, before we jump in, a quick but crucial note for you listening. This source material deals with some heavy politically charged themes.
Very heavy.
Yes, specifically regarding the U.S. government and national security regulations. We need to explicitly state that we are not taking any sides here.
No, not at all.
We aren't endorsing the viewpoints of the tech companies, nor are we endorsing the government's stance. Our only job here is to act as your impartial guides, just unpacking the claims made in this text so you have the full picture.
Precisely. We're here to analyze the mechanics of the conflict, not to, you know, declare a moral victor. And the mechanics of this particular conflict are incredibly complex. They touch on everything from global power dynamics to the actual foundational code of the internet.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the first major story from the Tech and Army Bulletin is what they're calling the $1 trillion algorithmic rebellion.
Such a dramatic name.
Right. It sounds like the plot of a sci-fi thriller, but it is happening right now. We're seeing a tactical alliance between OpenAI, Google, and Meta.
Which is unprecedented.
Totally.
Yeah.
These companies are usually blood enemies fighting for market share, but they have united to back Anthropic in a massive legal battle against the U.S. government.
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
And the core of this fight, the government wants to mandate centralized kill switches and force something called weight disclosure. I see the quote here from Sam Altman calling this deliberate innovation neutralization. So can you break down what weight disclosure actually means for someone who doesn't have a degree in machine learning?
Absolutely. So think of an AI model's neural weights like millions of tiny, highly sensitive dials on a massive soundboard.
Right.
The exact tuning of those dials is what gives the AI its intelligence. It is literally the mathematical DNA of the model. Now, the government's argument is rooted entirely in national security. In their view, you cannot have a black box of machine intelligence operating at a global scale without oversight.
Which makes sense from a security standpoint.
Right. They're claiming they need access to those dials to probe these advanced models for latent, potentially dangerous capabilities.
So the state basically wants the skeleton key to the machine.
Mm.
But the Tech Alliance is saying this completely breaks the technology, right?
Exactly. Anthropic and the Tech Alliance argue that forcing these kill switches and disclosures directly degrades the model's performance. But more alarming from their perspective, they argue it opens a backdoor for state-level espionage right into the processing layers of their technology. I mean, if Washington has the key, what stops a rival nation state from stealing it?
Wow. It is a total confrontation. It's the decentralized power of the algorithm clashing head-on with the centralized power of the state. It really feels unprecedented.
What's fascinating here is the concept the source text refers to as the parallel state.
The parallel state.
Yeah. We tend to view this as a simple legal dispute, you know, a courtroom drama over code. But it is much deeper. Think about the historical precedent of the East India Company.
Oh.
A corporation that amassed so much infrastructure and wealth that it wielded power rivaling actual nations. Today, when a nation's entire digital economy, its infrastructure, its communication rests on servers managed by three or four tech giants, those companies hold a type of leverage that arguably supersedes traditional legislation.
That's a terrifying thought.
They know that if they retreat and hand the keys to the Pentagon today, they are surrendering the sovereignty of machine intelligence. This is a battle for autonomy.
And their push for autonomy is taking them to some wild extremes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Bulletin describes this phenomenon called soaring silica, and I cannot stop thinking about this visual. Are they actually putting servers on boats?
They are. The tech giants are reportedly loading up decommissioned cargo ships with massive mobile data centers and sending them out into international waters.
That is insane. They are literally floating their computing power, their teraflops, out into the ocean to dodge U.S. copyright and national security laws. They're building a parallel internet out at sea, governed by AI, completely beyond state control. It's like pirate AI servers. But, I mean, can they actually get away with that?
It is a striking image, but it highlights a very real geopolitical vulnerability for the state. Sovereign digital free trade zones in international waters mean that if Washington tightens the regulatory screws too much, the compute power simply migrates.
It just floats away.
Exactly. And the geopolitical analysis in our source points out a major external factor forcing this issue, which is China.
Yeah.
According to the bulletin, China is watching this internal friction in the West with absolute glee. While Silicon Valley and Washington are locked in this regulatory cold war, China is rapidly developing their own frontier models without the shackles of Western ethics or regulations.
Those are race.
A massive one. Silicon Valley is absolutely playing this China competition card to force Washington's hand, basically saying, regulate us and you lose the global AI race.
Wow. And the bulletin makes a bold claim for you, the listener. It says your security in 2026 is no longer provided by the state. It is defined by your AI's encryption strength. And it's terrifying to think about AI infiltrating our personal security in these deeply intimate ways.
Truly.
But that actually transitions us perfectly from the macro-level geopolitics of floating servers to the micro-level reality of your personal digital life. The source cites the annual IBM X-Force Intelligence Report released tonight, and the statistics are staggering. Cyber attacks grew by over 44% in 2025 alone.
This raises an important question. What is driving that massive sudden spike? Because it isn't just a volume increase, it is a fundamental shift in tactics.
Right.
The IBM report points to a shift from traditional cyber threats to what they call agentic AI. And we really need to differentiate this from the simple bots we are used to.
Yeah, because when I hear bot, I just think of a script that tries the same password 1,000 times.
Precisely. A traditional bot is like a vending machine. It only does exactly what it is programmed to do, one step at a time. Agentic AI refers to autonomous agents. Think of an agentic AI like a rogue employee with a corporate credit card.
Oh, wow.
These are AI models that can independently identify targets, write custom malicious code on the fly to exploit a newly discovered weakness, and forge an entire identity in a fraction of a second. They are autonomous actors operating at machine speed, completely inerting to whatever security measures they encounter.
And hackers are using our own tools against us. The technical analysis in the report reveals that over 300,000 dark web accounts that were sold were directly connected to AI tools like ChatGPT and Claude.
It's a massive vulnerability.
Hackers are hijacking developers' and gamers' access to force these AI models to work for them. Your own AI assistant could be testifying against you or selling off your digital assets without you ever knowing.
It represents a total collapse of security at the end-user layer. The boundary between peace and war in the cyber layer has completely evaporated.
Here's where it gets really interesting. And by interesting, I mean absolutely terrifying.
Right.
Generative AI has reached the point where it can create live deepfakes capable of bypassing banking systems and Face ID. Traditional authentication is basically obsolete. A hacker's agentic AI could literally call your bank, perfectly mimicking your voice and face on a video call, and wire your savings away.
It's happening already.
So what do you do? The IBM report and Inspector Gemini have some very direct advice for you. They are recommending a return to offline identities.
Which feels like a massive step backward for a society built on convenience, but it is entirely necessary now.
Exactly. They say you need to start using hardware wallets for your digital assets, like literal physical drives. You need to immediately revoke unnecessary access to all your AI apps. And most chillingly, do not trust any voice or video message, even from your own loved ones, without physical confirmation.
That's the scariest part.
It is. If your spouse calls you asking for a money transfer, you need a prearranged physical safe word.
The convenience we have prioritized over the last decade has become our greatest vulnerability. As the source notes, integrating AI into every aspect of our lives has opened the doors for intrusion.
Yeah.
The very systems designed to make our lives frictionless have removed the friction that kept us safe. Relying on a complex password is a relic of the past when an agentic AI can check every permutation in milliseconds. Friction is now your only defense.
It is heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Really heavy. But this exact same autonomous technology isn't just breaking into our bank accounts. It is also fundamentally rewriting how we escape reality and entertain ourselves.
It's touching everything.
Which brings us to a massive shift in the gaming hardware space. Let's lighten the tone just a bit, because today, March 10th, is officially Mario Day.
Happy Mario Day.
And instead of the usual game discounts, the Bulletin is dropping some massive supply chain leaks regarding the Nintendo Switch 2.
It appears Nintendo is executing what the Bulletin calls a modernization strategy. The leaks indicate they are preparing an enhanced edition of Super Mario Bros. Wonder for the Switch 2 launch.
Oh.
And the Bulletin drops some serious technical specs here. It mentions the console is running on NVIDIA's new Tegra architecture, and the dissection of these new Switch 2 game cards shows read speeds of up to 3 gigabytes per second.
Which is incredibly fast.
Right. Can you translate that for the average player? Like, what does 3 gigabytes per second actually feel like when you have the controller in your hand?
It means the absolute death of the loading screen. We are talking about custom NVMe speed storage on a handheld device. You turn it on, and you are instantly in the game.
That's amazing.
But as impressive as the storage is, it is the software integration that signals a true paradigm shift for Nintendo. The source mentions a life sim game called Pocopia, co-developed with Omega Force. It uses something called neural personalization.
Yes. I read this part. The internal AI of the console actually analyzes your behavior as you play and then adapts the dialogue and world events to fit your unique psychological profile.
It's brilliant.
It sounds like having a dynamic, artificially intelligent dungeon master tailoring the story just for you.
That is Nintendo's entry into personalized AI entertainment. They have traditionally operated under a philosophy of innovation within limitations, relying on art style over raw graphical power.
Right, they never cared about being the most powerful console.
Exactly. But the Switch 2 hardware signals they are moving past those limitations. Crucially, they are utilizing NVIDIA's DLSS 4.5 and ray reconstruction technology.
Okay, break that down for me. Ray reconstruction.
So ray tracing is how games simulate realistic light, but it is incredibly taxing on hardware. DLSS 4.5 and ray reconstruction use AI to smartly upscale the image and fill in the missing pixels for lighting and reflections, making the game look incredibly realistic without melting the system's processor.
That makes sense.
Internal demos suggest this handheld can render complex transparencies and reflections on par with current home consoles. As the source states, this effectively marks the end of the weak Nintendo graphics era.
And it sets up a massive clash in the living room. Because while Nintendo is bringing PC-level tech to a handheld, Microsoft just dropped an absolute bombshell tonight. Project Helix.
This is huge.
This isn't just an Xbox. It is literally a full-blown gaming PC built into a console chassis. Phil Spencer confirmed it runs Windows Gaming Core. You can run any PC game directly from Steam or the Epic Games Store natively. No special console port required. The specs in the Bulletin mention a hybrid AMD processor with 3D V-Cache. Why is that such a big deal?
3D V-Cache essentially stacks memory directly on top of the processor. To use an analogy, instead of a chef having to walk to the pantry every time they need a recipe instruction, the instructions are hovering right in front of their face.
Oh, I like that analogy.
It dramatically increases processing speed for complex gaming environments. But the real innovation outlined in the leaked specs for Helix is the modularity. Helix will allow users to actually upgrade GPU modules in the future.
But wait, if Microsoft is putting out a modular console that's basically a PC, aren't they just cannibalizing their own Xbox market? Like, why give up the walled garden of a traditional console?
Yeah.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Microsoft is deliberately dismantling the concept of the closed box console because that walled garden is becoming a prison.
A prison.
Yes. They have recognized that selling specialized plastic boxes at a loss, hoping to make it back on exclusive software sales, is an unsustainable business model in 2026. They are targeting Sony directly here.
Because Sony is still doing the traditional thing.
Sony is still insisting on that legacy model of closed exclusive hardware. But with Helix, if you own a game on PC, you own it on your console.
Right. You don't have to buy two separate versions anymore. It completely blurs the line between PC and console gaming. But the Bulletin does point out a major risk here, which is software complexity. I mean, anyone who plays on PC knows Windows can be a nightmare of driver issues and crashes.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that exactly what console gamers buy a console to avoid?
It is the primary risk, without a doubt. But Microsoft's solution is a hardened version of Windows, where Helix's internal AI automatically handles all the graphic presets and driver optimizations for every single game.
So the AI does the tinkering for you.
Exactly. The vision is clear. By 2030, Microsoft doesn't want Xbox to be a piece of plastic under your TV. They want it to be an application that runs on any powerful hardware. Project Helix is their bridge to that future, pushing users toward the broader PC ecosystem and ultimately the cloud.
Which brings us perfectly to the software side of things and the rise of what the Bulletin calls subscription capitalism.
A very fitting term.
Tonight, Cyberpunk 2077, a game with one of the most famous redemption arcs in history, officially joined Xbox Game Pass. This is a massive victory for Microsoft. Millions of users can now boot up Night City without paying an extra $60.
It's a huge get.
And the technical implementation mentioned in the source sounds flawless. The biopsy shows the Game Pass version defaults to the Overdrive and Ray reconstruction updates. It says Microsoft equipped their servers with custom NVIDIA Blackwell-based blades for cloud gaming. So what is a Blackwell blade actually doing for the player sitting at home?
Blackwell is NVIDIA's next-generation architecture. It's incredibly powerful for AI and rendering. A blade refers to stacking these supercomputers tightly into server racks.
Right.
What it means for the player is that if you are using cloud gaming, Microsoft is doing all the heavy computational lifting on their end, guaranteeing a lag-free 1440p experience on your end, even if you are playing on a five-year-old laptop or a mobile phone.
That's wild.
NVIDIA also just added Cyberpunk to their GeForce and now W library with Ultra settings. Microsoft and NVIDIA are essentially surrounding the traditional physical console market from both sides.
Yeah, I mean, if you can stream Cyberpunk at Ultra settings to a basic screen, why are you spending $600 on a traditional console? This is a huge blow to Sony's PlayStation Plus model.
It really is.
But the source points out a much larger economic shift happening behind the scenes. CD Projekt Red received millions of dollars in cash from this Game Pass deal up front, which they are using to fund their next massive projects, Orion and The Witcher 4.
Exactly. Blockbuster games are no longer just standalone products meant to sell a specific number of copies. They are becoming engagement tools for massive subscription services after their initial launch windows.
Just keeping people subscribed.
Yes. This is the core of subscription capitalism, devouring retail capitalism. The revenue models have fundamentally changed from point of sale to continuous engagement. But there is a stark warning embedded in this analysis for the consumer.
Yeah, I saw this part.
Physical ownership is dying. We have entered the era of temporary access. Inspector Gemini's advice is incredibly pointed here. Enjoy exploring Night City. But never forget that in this matrix, you are just a tenant. You are not the landlord.
A tenant.
Your access can be revoked the moment your subscription lapses, a server shuts down, or a licensing deal expires.
It is a little sad to think about. We are trading ownership for convenience across the board. But speaking of survival strategies in this new era, let's talk about the banter surrounding Ubisoft tonight.
Yes, Ubisoft.
They finally confirmed the rumors. An Assassin's Creed Black Flag remake is officially in development. We are going back to Edward Kenway.
A fan favorite.
The technical dissection from the Bulletin reveals they are using the upgraded Anvil engine, focusing heavily on advanced water physics, dynamic weather, and realistic ship destruction. But my question is, with all the new technology available, why are they going backward to a decade-old game?
The why behind this announcement is purely about corporate survival. After a string of failures in the live service arena, Ubisoft's stock value has been heavily threatened. They are retreating to their roots to rebuild trust with a deeply disillusioned fan base. It is a strategic retrenchment.
The source mentions they are stripping out all the heavy, bloated RPG elements and returning to fast-paced combat and classic stealth. I think gamers are just exhausted by these hollow 100-hour grinds.
They are. But market analysis indicates they are also timing the release of this remake with a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie in 2026 to capitalize on global trends. It demonstrates an industry that is currently terrified of innovation. When a massive publisher lacks the creative agility to launch successful new intellectual property, they retreat to the safety of nostalgia, using advanced tech like the Anvil engine just to put a fresh coat of paint on a proven formula.
But our source gives a massive warning to players about what they call Ubisoftization.
Right.
If Ubisoft tries to take this beloved classic and inject it with modern microtransactions, or forces a mandatory online layer just to play a single-player pirate game, it's going to absolutely backfire. The community will not stand for it.
It is a delicate tightrope they are walking. They need the engagement of the subscription era, but they are dealing with a property from the retail era.
So what does this all mean? We have covered immense ground today.
We really have.
We are looking at a world where tech giants are literally floating AI data centers on cargo ships and international waters to rebel against government oversight. We have an explosion of autonomous agentic AI that can forge your identity, mimic your voice, and bypass your bank security in milliseconds. The gaming world is completely shattering the closed-box hardware model with modular consoles and AI-driven personalization, all while digital ownership evaporates into a subscription-based tenancy. The Bulletin says it best. You cannot just be a passive spectator anymore. You must be the active architect and the inspector of your own reality.
It all comes back to that concept of the tenant versus the landlord. We are voluntarily outsourcing our identities to digital wallets, our entertainment to cloud subscriptions, and our global infrastructure to autonomous AI models floating on decentralized servers.
It's everywhere.
It forces us to ask a deeply uncomfortable question. If every layer of our modern existence, how we work, how we play, how we secure our lives, is managed, optimized, and ultimately controlled by these autonomous agents, what happens to human agency when the AI decides it no longer needs the tenant at all?
Wow, that is definitely a lingering thought to keep you up at night. But that is exactly why we do this deep dive, to give you the tools and the context to understand the world as it's being rapidly built around you. Keep questioning everything. Keep adding that necessary friction to secure your digital life, and we will be right here next time to help you cut through the noise. Take care.